Thank you for listening to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you hear in today's message the love Christ has for you. As an Episcopal church, Grace has deep roots in the Anglican tradition, while also seeking to be a fresh and vibrant expression of this sacramental liturgical faith. We hope through the ministry of Grace Church, you will not only know the truth that God's love is for everyone, really no exceptions, but that you would also live out that truth in your life. Visit us online at www.graceyukon.org for service times and information about our ministries.
Jesus, let me be what you make of me, while you be what I love. Amen. Please be seated. Well, over the last 2 months or so, many of you know that a group of us here from Grace Church have been volunteering with other Episcopal churches, other Episcopalians from our OKC Metro, with the welcoming effort of the Afghan refugees at the airport. And a couple of you here today have been serving on that team. Catholic Charities, of course, is the larger organization they're in charge of this whole resettlement process of the 1,800 refugees that have come to us here in Oklahoma. And so our diocese has partnered with them for just this one piece, which is essentially we greet them at the airport, we transport them to their hotel, we make sure that they're settled in for their first couple nights before the caseworker from Catholic Charities comes and starts to kind of process their next steps with them. So our duties, especially once we get to the hotel, is to make sure that they know how the thermostat works and the hot and cold water, that the tap water is safe to drink, and most importantly, do not put metal in the microwave. Some of the Afghans that we are welcoming are from big cities, so they know about microwaves, but others are from small towns, and they have no idea how a microwave works, and the halal food that is brought in is in these big aluminum foil containers. And so, if you tell them, this heats the food, you do need to give the disclaimer about the aluminum foil. Anyway, some of these folks, again, are from cities, some small villages, some are doctors, some are engineers, others are farmers. Many of them, of course, worked with our military, or they have a family member who worked with our military in some capacity over the years. Some of them speak English very well. Perhaps they were a translator. Others only speak Pashto or Dari. And when this opportunity came up for us, and our canon, one of our canons that is a priest that works with our diocesan bishop, when he explained this opportunity, I knew there would be folks here at Grace Church who would be excited to serve. We have so many generous hearts here at Grace Church who love to serve, generous hearts who love their neighbor, generous hearts who would be eager to welcome the stranger, as we're doing here. I have to be honest, though, I was personally a little bit nervous about this whole thing, in part because of my own kind of early childhood memories of language barriers and just how much I struggled learning Spanish as a kid in school. It was something I was terrible at. I got a little bit better in high school and college once I figured out how sentence structures work, but for whatever reason, I have this fear of not being able to communicate with people. And so the first night I volunteered, I went with Jen, who's the spouse of one of our canons, that priest that works with the bishop, and she's been kind of the big organizer behind the whole thing. And so I was grateful to shadow with her because she had been doing it for a week or two before I started, and she kind of knew what to expect. And there we were waiting at the gate. I was told not to wear a collar and not to stand out. Will we be holding a welcome sign, I asked. No, because apparently there had been some violence early on at a couple airports of some Americans who did not want us to take any refugees from Afghanistan, despite the fact that they worked with our military. But anyway, so we didn't want to stand out. And I said, well, how will we know it's them, I asked. And she said, oh, you'll know it's them, especially because that night we were welcoming two adults with 8 kids. how will they know they're supposed to meet us, I asked. And they said, well, they don't, but they know this hasn't been a problem so far, she tells me, because they know that they're meeting someone, and they just trust, she said, which was interesting. So as people poured out of the terminal, lots of people came out, and you're kind of profiling at that point. You're like, I wonder, is that them? Could that be one of them? I don't know. But it was very obvious when the two adults with 8 kids came by, and they were wearing traditional Afghan clothing. They had been at a military base for the last 2 months since the evacuation at the end of August. So these parents are dressed up. They've got 8 kids, 2 months, so an infant born in this country, all the way up to 15, and the parents are about my age, and they looked exhausted. The kids, however, they were wired. They were energetic. So we greeted them, salam, peace. Now, salam is Arabic, but they're Muslim, so they know that word. Peace is a universal peace, we said. And we motioned them to the escalator. And I said, we're here to take you to your hotel. Do you speak English? No. Pashto. Okay. We started to pick up the phone and dial the phone a friend translator service that we had been given. And then an American comes up with his spouse, and he starts speaking Pashto to them. And we were like, oh my gosh. He had apparently met them on the plane. He figured out really quickly that they were Afghanis. And he had apparently worked for an NGO in Afghanistan for many years. And so he translated for us. We didn't need to phone the friend. And you know, we got them to the bathroom, made sure the kids all used the restroom, which there was some confusion about. Just that was we'll save that story. But we got everybody to the right bathroom, and then we made our way back down to the baggage claim. Slowly, all the blue duffel bags started coming. If you can put my picture up, this is while we were in the airport elevator, but the blue duffel bags started coming from the migration services, and then the suitcases duct taped together and kind of strapped together and all of that. They started coming down the conveyor belt, and we would collect them. About 12 total, you know, more or less one per person. I heard, as we were moving the bags, some tea kettles clanking. And immediately, I couldn't help but think about my great-grandparents, who came to this country through Ellis Island in the 19-teens. And I remember my grandma, she was the youngest child and the only one born in this country. She had a tea kettle with little teacups that she kept out in her living room her entire life. And so we would play with them as kids, and she would tell us the stories about her parents coming over. And all those memories kind of came to my own mind as we were moving that luggage and hearing that clank of some tea kettles. I thought about my own family's journey, not just that generation, but the previous generations over the centuries who have come here with very little, but with a lot of hope. And that legacy continues with these Afghan refugees. Tea kettles, traditional spices, their family Quran, I'm sure. Who knows what other treasures lay in those duffels, but that is all they had. And it put my own possessions and my own treasures into perspective. We made our way to the vehicles, and as we were loading up the luggage, another young woman came out, and she was retired Army, and she helped us load into the trunks, and she said, you know, a lot of Afghanis helped care for me when I was over there, and so I want to make sure that I'm doing whatever I can to help them and do my part. We got to the hotel, we phoned the translator. They didn't know what a microwave was, so we clarified. I realized that they had no diapers, so I ended up traveling to three different stores at midnight. Walmart closes early now. Did you know that? They're no longer 24 hours. Anyway, I had to go to three different stores until I found some. I gifted the dates and the snacks and the stuffed animals that we had collected here at Grace Church, and I gave those to them. Those exhausted parents thanked me with just a bow and a smile, and the kids threw their stuffed animals in the air with a lot of joy. It was a night of a lot of blessings. And my anxieties about being an airport greeter kind of went away, even with the language barrier. It turns out that human beings in desperate need who are willing to fly halfway around the world for safety and opportunity are definitely full of trust and grace. It's a holy moment when vastly different people meet, of different language, different faith, different culture, really everything. And when you meet and you see yourself and your family and your family's history and your own humanity tied up in their humanity, it's a sacramental moment. God shows up with grace and kindness and love. That is all there in that moment. Zooming out, thinking about this whole resettlement process, I'm still a little bit nervous. Like, there's a lot that needs to happen in the next, like, year. It's drastically underfunded. The money wasn't there from the federal government by the time they're arriving, so I don't know whose credit card this is all on right now. But anyway, there's lots of, like, just organizational barriers. There's lots of needs. We've got a lot of professionals who will want meaningful jobs. We have kids to educate, healthcare needs, mental health, and trauma, all sorts of things. And when I expressed all that to Jen, because I was kind of getting overwhelmed thinking about it all, she said, yes, but this airport hospitality, that's our part to play in this puzzle right now. That's our piece. and others are doing their part, and it's going to come together. And that was a good reminder for me, someone who likes to like look at the whole puzzle and like solve it. sometimes the only thing that I need to take care of is my piece of the puzzle. When there's a big response needed to a big crisis, my little part is enough. And that first night when strangers came together, me, Jen, that NGO translator, that retired Army officer, we all had our part to play. And many small acts of love came together, and that does indeed move mountains. Paul reminds us of how important it is for us to belong to one another in 1 Corinthians reading that we read today. He means in the reading, especially for the church. The church is one body with many members, and we all have gifts to offer, and we would be incomplete without one another. And he reintroduces to us in that passage that radical logic of Jesus, where the first are last and the last are first. Paul says it this way. He says that it's actually the parts of the body that seem weaker that are indispensable. It's a crucial reminder that each and every one of us is of value to God because God made us in God's image and God gifted us by the same Spirit. Jesus, in our gospel reading today, begins his ministry in Luke by reading from that scroll of Isaiah, and he surprises everyone in the synagogue when he closes it, and then he says, "This has now been fulfilled in your hearing." But he is the one who will bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. Indeed, his ministry will do exactly that. And in response to his ministry, to this good news, his grace, followers of Jesus are called to respond in a particular way. Because of the compassion, grace, mercy, and forgiveness that Jesus bestows on each one of us, we are called as followers of Christ to be conduits of that grace and mercy. As Christ pours into us, we're called to let it flow out towards others. We love because he first loved us, John says in his letter. To be Christian is to be aware of the needs of the world around us and the people around us. It is to have compassion and to serve where we are able. Christians should be known not for their judgment, anger, or righteousness, but by their love, right? A heart for serving and loving your neighbor, for welcoming the stranger, caring for the widow and orphan, these are gospel imperatives that Jesus gives us. And that heart for service is one of those pieces of DNA of Grace Church that I think we have instilled from the very beginning. It's in the generous hearts that are formed here. Service is one of those deep roots of our church that I pray is here for generations to come. There are times in life for each of us when we feel like a weaker or lesser member, as Paul says. Times when we need to be picked up and cared for, honored and loved as the indispensable children of God that we are. And then there are times when compassion will move us forward to care for others. And all of this is made possible, both what we receive and what we give, by that grace that is poured out on us and the grace that flows through us. The ways that we serve and give of ourselves is never to earn God's favor, which is already granted, but only to pour out and share that which has been poured into us by God. The kindness, compassion, generosity, mercy, and grace that we share is a mere reflection of the source of these treasures, which is made known in Christ. We are blessed that Jesus has done the heavy lifting for us. We don't need to be saviors, but we do each need to do our piece of the puzzle, to use our gifts, our skills, our compassion, our hands and feet to love and serve the Lord. From big ways to small, our acts of service, of love, of grace come together to move mountains. So may God inspire us today to be his hands and feet and enliven and empower our generous hearts to be a reflection of his own. Amen.